Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He, or as I happen to believe it should be, God, appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. The word of the Lord. May we pray. Lord, would you help me? You're inadequate, fallible, fallen, finite servant, to open my mouth with boldness and speak your word with clarity and conviction, concisely and with practical application. And would you bless that preaching in such a way that those who do not yet know Christ would be sovereignly and effectually drawn to you by the winsome wooing of the Holy Spirit who works through the written word. Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, and teach us and change us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we began looking at this passage of Scripture last Lord's Day, and we considered the first two things there. God was manifest in the flesh. You can take the King James away, but I grew up with the King James, and it's what is in my memory bank, so sorry for that. But God was manifest in the flesh, and I went into the reasons why I believe it ought to be translated that way last week, and that he was vindicated by the Spirit. Now, that is in part a reference to Christ's resurrection. The Holy Spirit, as we said last week, did everything in the life of Jesus. Jesus, who is truly God, always has been God. There never was a time he was not, came in the course of time to become a real and true human being like you and me, except he never sinned. And it's important to affirm these truths. What is God's name? There are people who will tell you that the name of God is Jesus. That's just not true. Jesus is the name that God's Son took when he became a human being. So Jesus' name, which in Hebrew is Yeshua, or in an earlier period in Hebrew, Yehoshua, is identical to the name Joshua. And Joshua was a very popular name amongst Jewish people. He was the son of Nun, N-U-N, and not like some science fiction book. So Jesus' name is Joshua. And that is the name he took when he, the eternal God, became a real and true human being, just like you and me. And again, except he never sinned. But his whole life that he lived was done in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ended with that last week. I just want to say, and that reminds me to remove this, I just want to say that Jesus' humanity is just like yours and mine, except he didn't sin. It wasn't a fallen human nature. But everything he did was done by the Holy Spirit. Where in the whole of the Bible is there any record of Jesus doing a miracle until after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, as he was baptized with water by John the Baptist? When the Spirit of God came from the Father and rested on the head of the Son, and the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." That's when Jesus began to do miracles and power. There are no miracles recorded. Now there are books that are written because people always like to make up stories telling about Jesus getting mad with some children in Egypt, and when they messed up something, he messed them up. That's not Jesus. The Bible is the only sure and certain yardstick by which to measure everything. The word canon that we use sometimes when we speak of a completed canon or a closed canon is the word for a yardstick. It's the measuring yard of a measuring yardstick of truth. We hear a lot about fake news, don't we? It's everywhere. That's because foreign countries make up news stories to make us mad with each other. We really do that. Fake news. Well, you know, I don't know where I can find real news anymore. I really don't. Except one place. And it's in this book. This is God's infallible, unerring guide to truth. If it lines up with this, God's yardstick, then okay. If it doesn't, no, not okay. So, every miracle that Jesus did, according to this book, he did after he was baptized by the Spirit. I remember when I first moved to Central Louisiana some 45 years ago, and I learned about a very large church that was very influential in not only that town, but throughout the state. Government officials would come. In fact, one day, when the governor of Arkansas became the president of the United States, he came to that church twice. Wow, very influential. And so I called over there because I had been told a rumor. And I asked the pastor, who was at that time the pastor's son, because churches like that are inherited by the family, the person owns the church. And so I called him and I said, well, explain something to me. I said, when Jesus was baptized, the Father spoke from heaven, the Holy Spirit came down as a dove and lit on the head of Jesus. I said, what do you make of that? He said, he was a ventriloquist. Well, really? I don't know about that. I used to have a ventriloquist dummy, and it got burned up in a fire, and my kids were excited that it was gone because it used to scare them. But anyhow, every miracle that Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the practical application that I didn't quite feel I had the time to finish with last week was, therefore, whatever Jesus has done, the potential is for us as well. Because he's given us the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that you're going to walk around and do everything exactly the way Jesus did. But you know something? The power of God was not always present for Jesus when he was on earth. What? Well, turn with me, if you will, for a moment to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. And it's this. We're told in Mark 6, these words, let's see here. Mark 6, verse 5, page 1561. I always like people to look in the Bible. You know why? Because preachers trick people. Do you ever hear of Jim Jones? Jim Jones once took the Bible and threw it out of the pulpit, and he said, too many of you are looking in that book. You need to be looking at me. Well, you know about Kool-Aid, and all those people followed him. On page 1561 and verse 5, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, you know, God can do anything. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stay his hand or say, what are you doing? But when Jesus came into this world and took the name Jesus, He limited Himself in His human nature to things such as you and I are limited by. In other words, Jesus in His humanity is submitted to the law of God and their principles and precepts. Do you know, by the way, again, I've said this before, there are things God cannot do. God can't forgive your sins and mine. Just forgive them. Like the bank president deciding because he feels sorry for you, you've not made your notes. I'll just forgive that debt. I'll cancel it out. Well, that works fine for a few months until the bank auditors come. God had to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in your place, in my place, in order to pay for our sins. God didn't have to do that because God did not have to forgive our sins. But once we see that God wanted to forgive our sins, there was no other way but that God would send His Son. As a human being, because man sinned, man had to pay the price. And because He's God, His death is of infinite worth. It's sufficient for all people everywhere. Indeed, when Jesus died on the cross, He died for the world. He died for flowers and grass. What? You see, Jesus is the second Adam. Adam's great rebellion against God resulted in our entire world being put under a curse, thorns and thistles, the sweat of our brow, pain in childbirth, all of those things. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sinless life and His dying on the cross and rising again undoes the work of the first Adam. And so God sent His Son. And in sending His Son, Jesus limits Himself to divine principles. And so He could not. Look at what He says in verse 4 of Mark 6. Jesus said to them, "Only in His hometown, among His relatives, and in His own house is a prophet without honor." He could not. I assure you, that is exactly what the Greek means. He could not. Not He would not. It meant that He could not do any significant miracle there except lay His hands on a few sick people and heal them. There are other places in the Gospels where we read about the power of God was present to heal. And so what I want to say is, for example, when the woman reaches and touches the hem of His garment and He turns around and said, "Somebody touched me." They said, "Lord, you've got all these folks around you. Many people touched me." "No," He said, "power came out of me." That's the Lord Jesus. Now, what I want you to see is that we are not helpless in COVID-19 and whatever in the world is the truth there and the falsehood there. Whatever in the world is going to happen with our economy, whatever in the world is going to happen, we're not helpless people. We have the power of God. We have the same power of the Holy Spirit available to us that the Lord Jesus Christ had available to Him. And therefore, let's have confidence. Now, we are told in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 4, that He was, and that's on page 1746, that through the Spirit of holiness, that's Romans 1:4, He was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. It's interesting that Paul, in this little creedal statement of 1 Timothy 3:16, never directly mentions the resurrection. But he's alluding to it. Sometimes a creed or a confession doesn't spell everything out exactly. But It is by the Holy Spirit Jesus did absolutely everything, and it's by the Holy Spirit that He is raised from the dead. Now we're told something else, and this, I believe, is an allusion to Jesus' resurrection as well. We're told there in 1 Timothy 3:16, in the third of those statements, that He was seen by angels. He was seen by angels. Think about it for a moment. Think about what I shared with the young disciples about angels coming. The angel that came to the door. The angel who didn't come to the door. The angel who came to the prison to set Peter free. And then Rhoda thinking it was Peter's angel. Abraham meets three human being looking persons. One of them happens to be the Lord Himself. Two are angels. Abraham didn't know it. He just saw these mysterious three men coming. They looked like ordinary human beings. Really? I thought angels had giant wings. Some do. Some don't. We have cherubim and we have seraphim. Some six wings, some four wings. But most angels look just like B.R. Hughes. What? Yeah. If there were an angel here this morning, Miss Carolyn is B.R. next to you. You want to be sure. But most angels just look like ordinary human beings. So here come two angels with the Lord Himself. And they converse. And then the Lord dismisses the two angels who look like ordinary human beings. They go down to Sodom to rescue Abraham's nephew, Lot. And they looked like ordinary human beings, except they were very strikingly handsome. You know why? Because angels have not fallen into sin. Why do my knees not work well? I used to run on concrete 30 miles a day. 30 miles a week, not a day. I tore my knees and my hip up. Wow. You mean you can't abuse your body? No, because I live in a fallen world with limitations. Why are there wrinkles on my face? Because I'm in my, or actually moving towards mid-70s. Not yet. Yeah, not quite. But living in the South and living in central Louisiana, that climate is not unlike Saigon in August, keeps you from having as many wrinkles as other places. So, why am I wearing out? Because I'm fallen in Adam, and the effects of Adam's sin are with me. But angels never fell. Some did, but these angels did not. And therefore, they were strikingly handsome. That's why when you read the book of Revelation, you discover that the Apostle John, who receives this revelation twice, goes to get down on his knees to worship the angel. And here's something that C.S. Lewis said once. If we could only see ourselves when we are fully glorified, when we are fully restored to the image of God that was so gnarled and marred by the sin of our first parents, we too would be compelled to worship each other. Wow, because the glory of God rested on those angels, even though angels are not created in the image of God. We are. Of all God's creatures, only human beings are in God's image. And so these angels were amazing looking persons who walked into Sodom. Lot thought he had to protect them. As the wicked people beat on his door. But what happened? The angels simply reached out, jerked Lot back in, and I don't know how they did it. They struck them with blindness. So the men are all wandering around because they're blind. Angels have amazing power. I will never forget, I was in the back seat of an undertaker's car when I got a phone call from my son on May 24th, 2018. I couldn't quite understand him. I said, "Ben, I'm on my way to the cemetery. As soon as it's over, I'm going to call you." And I found out that his sister and brother-in-law and nephew were in a terrible car wreck. In fact, when I went the next morning to the wrecking yard in Marksville, Louisiana, with my son and another person to look at the car, because four people were air-vacked that day, my son-in-law had completely severed the blood vessel across the inner arm. Had it not been for an angel making a lady who had been in Afghanistan, who was a command master sergeant at Barksdale Air Force Base, make a wrong turn so the timing perfectly coincided with her being right on the scene when it happened, and she was used to giving orders to people, male and female alike, because she knew what had to be done, because when the military trains you, practice makes permanent. And I don't care how dumb you are. When you do it over and over and over and over again, you don't even have to think. You just do what you've been trained to do. But she was not dumb. She immediately saw what had to be done. She saw my daughter and grandson lying down in the median on Interstate 49 south of Alexandria. And she realized that my son-in-law was trapped in their car. She ran over and she saw that we had a Garmin plugged into the cigarette lighter. And she jerked it out and used the cord of the Garmin to stop the bleeding in his arm, or he would have bled to death before the helicopter came. A helicopter took my son-in-law to Lafayette. Another helicopter took my grandson to Rapids Regional in Alexandria. Another helicopter took my daughter to the same hospital, but in a different room. And another helicopter took the driver of the 18-wheeler to Shreveport. Four different helicopters. Their car, as they came around a curve, have you ever thought about on the 16th day of August 2020, you might not make it home? I think about that from time to time. The point is this. You don't have to worry, because your life is immortal until God's purpose for your life is done. There was someone stopped in the middle of I-49 with a trailer hitched behind his truck, had evidently just pulled back onto the highway. They come around a curve. There he is, right in the middle of the highway. They swerved to miss him, and when they did, they went down the median and came back up and went airborne, and they hit the side of an 18-wheeler with such force, they knocked it on its side and knocked it all the way down to the tree line and bounced them back into the median. That happened on May 24th, 2018. And so we went the next morning to the collision center in Marksville, Louisiana, my lawyer son and I, and a friend of ours. And we went back into the back. We were told, and later we saw the pictures, that the motor and transmission were 75 feet away from the car. What do you think that the men that worked in that wrecking yard said to us as we went into the back? Do you have any idea? Must have been angels. It was. He will give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. I thought that was about Jesus. It is about Jesus. But you know what? If you are in Christ, all the promises of God belong to you. As many as may be, the promises of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. They are yea and amen in Christ. So all those messianic psalms, they apply to you and me as well. Must have been angels. Were angels. Angels. There are angels here this morning. Right here. Oh, okay. Oh. I can't see them. But you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, these words. It says, on page 1887, that the prophets who gave us the Word of God in the Old Testament, 1 Peter 1:12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Even angels long to look into these things. Do you know that the angels don't necessarily understand everything you understand? And that's why they come to church. Well, they also come to church to wake you up. Because not everybody does Bob stunts. I won't do it. And they come here to make you think about something. Have you ever wondered and worried about losing your train of thought when the preacher's preaching? Do you know that sometimes that's from God? Because God has a special word for you. Of application to your life and to my life. And so our mind seizes on something and we think about it. Don't feel bad about that happening unless it happens all the time and you never pay any attention to anything going on up here. The point is, there are angels here to help you, to protect you. There were angels that guarded my daughter and son-in-law and grandson on May 24th, 2018. One other quick story as we continue this thing about angels next week, because the appearances of Christ and His resurrection were all with angels present. Sandy and I had an amazing thing happen this week, and I will close with it. Here it is. We were walking and we got held up. We like to walk a lot. And I always carry a stick ever since that dog was off the chain and bit her on June the 2nd. I learned about sticks. Point it at the dog and say, Vietnam. They back up. So we were walking, but we didn't get to walk as early as we like to walk. Because it gets really, really hot. And really, really humid. And we were delayed. And we were delayed so much that when we were doing our route, Sandy said to me, I can't go anymore. I said, really? You can't? No, I can't go anymore. So at that moment, we turned around and headed back to our house. We go by someone's home. As a new male lady that I did not really know, but I later learned her name, was driving by. And as we're walking, suddenly a woman comes out of her house screaming, help me, help me, help me, my baby's strangling. Well, the male lady heard it. She was an African American lady. She made a U-turn and came back and drove up in the lady's yard and rolled her window down. What had happened is that the baby began to strangle in the house and her son said, Mama, there's a nurse out there. I don't know why Sandy looked like a nurse, but she looks more like a poker dealer in a casino to me, but she wears the sun visor. But the young man thought that she was a nurse. And so we show up right in her yard, right at that moment, at the same moment as the lady male person shows up. And we began to pray. And the male lady rolled her window down and begins to say, "In Jesus' name I agree. In Jesus' name I agree. In Jesus' name I agree." She was saying it over and over and over again as Sandy and I prayed for the lady and her little boy, little girl. And suddenly, the little child spat up whatever it was that had strangled her. Now I want to ask you one question. Sandy and I didn't do anything special. We just did what we do all the time. We walk. We talk to people. Never mask when we walk because we keep social distance. And I got to be able to make sure the dogs read my lips. Vietnam. We just did what we normally do. And the mail lady was doing what she normally did. But we were delayed. Why were we delayed? There was a divine appointment. The point is that God is absolutely sovereign, but He works through means. He works through second causes. God, because of a series of events in our lives, held us up where it was exhausting to do the walk at that time. And we cut it short. And it happened that this lady that we did not know, and actually didn't care for, we'd seen her before and thought she was rude. We have a great relationship with the other one named Courtney. She turned out to be, was she an angel? I don't know, but I'll tell you, angels were involved in all of that to save that baby's life. And angels were involved in the delay. Have you ever wondered when some idiot gets in front of you in the left lane and decides to make a left-hand turn, and there you are, oh, what am I going to do? Have you ever thought maybe that was an angel? You say, "Bob, that just sounds too weird." Listen, the world is weirder than you could ever imagine. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the Bible, Your inerrant, infallible Word. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It's the only certain yardstick to measure things by. Lord, we thank You that that Bible tells us that Jesus came into the world to save sinners just like us here. And that He is willing, and that He invites us to come to Him today. And that maybe somebody is here today because angels were involved in getting that person here today. To hear the gospel and to respond in faith, and to hear the Good Shepherd saying one more time, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Lord, grant it be so, for Jesus' sake. Amen.